people would ask me, what does La Traviata mean? What does it mean? Literally translated as the misguided one, but I think more accurately, the tainted one. Someone who has slipped outside the acceptable bounds of their society.
Don't drink the orange juice, I beg you, please.
I never heard of Rod McKeown. I just saw people coming to a party and I just jumped in.
Doesn't matter who you love or how you love, but that you love.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. British service members in Iraq conquer benefits inequity, but U.S. soldiers still can't tell. La Trans Traviata triumphs in Taos, and a 50-year equality advocate is proud in his prime. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Ralph Radebaugh.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending March 22, 2003. As Britain joined the U.S. in attacking Iraq this week, the U.K.'s Ministry of Defense announced that for the first time, it will be extending spousal survivor benefits to the partners of its unmarried service members who may die there, including gay and lesbian partners. British law currently restricts military pensions to legally married spouses, something several members of Parliament have already been working to amend. But the ministry has the authority to change the benefits regulations without legislation, and the heterosexual domestic partner of one service member who died in action had already won a settlement in her high-profile campaign for a military pension.
The new eligibility of partners is not identical to that of legally married spouses, according to the ministry's written statement to the Parliament. While spouses enjoy their benefits automatically, for partners, the ministry will make what it called a broad assessment of the substance of the relationship in each case. The assessment will consider such factors as duration, the partner being named in the service member's will, financial interdependence, shared commitments such as joint mortgages, and children, although not all of these are necessary to qualify. Those who are deemed to have had a substantial relationship with a service member who died in a conflict will receive an initial lump sum followed by regular payments, but are apt to be in amounts about 10% less than those received by legal spouses. Partner eligibility begins with the war on Iraq and is not retroactive.
Meanwhile, all that's available to U.S. gay and lesbian service members in Iraq is the option to name a partner as what's called a person of interest to be notified if they die. Even that's risky, as the so-called don't ask, don't tell policy remains in effect, with so-called gay discharges and military cases of homophobic harassment both having reached record highs in 2001, the latest year for which figures are available. The attack on Iraq marks the first time the U.S. military specifically excluded proceedings on gay discharges from its stop-loss orders, which halted other administrative action so as to keep troops available for action.
Numerous gay and lesbian individuals and organizations have been prominent among those protesting the war in Western nations. In fact, one U.S. internet poll suggested that lesbi gays and transgenders may be more likely than their heterosexual counterparts to oppose it.
Last week, Britain's best-known gay rights activist, Peter Tatchell, was arrested after jumping in front of Prime Minister Tony Blair's car to protest Western military intervention against Iraq. Tatchell, who was quickly bailed out, believes Saddam Hussein should be deposed by means of support for dissident Iraqi Kurds.
In one protest this week, the Spanish gay rights group Colegas publicly called on the Pope to excommunicate Spanish Prime Minister José María Aznar and his entire ruling Partido Popular from the Roman Catholic Church. The Pope has repeatedly called for peace, while the Spanish government has been a leader in supporting U.S. military action against Iraq. However, the Church and Partido Popular agree in their opposition to legal recognition of gay and lesbian couples, with the PP having recently blocked registered partnership bills introduced by all of Spain's other parliamentary parties.
And Mexico City's first ever lesbian march this week turned into an anti-war demonstration. Lesbian feminist organizers had previously announced it would proclaim their need for autonomous spaces that do not compromise our ethics in the construction of a society that is critical of heterosexism, neoliberalism, and other fundamentalisms. But as some 500 participants marched down the city's main streets, they joined their voices with dozens of anti-war protesters holding vigil outside the U.S. Embassy.
Meanwhile, the lawsuit credited for the South African National Defense Force's recent extension of spousal benefits to service members, same-gender partners, was reaffirmed by the nation's highest court this week. South Africa's constitutional court last year determined that a law restricting judges' survivor benefits to legally married spouses violated the constitutional guarantee of equality for gays and lesbians. The decision was seen as a landmark for partner rights, especially for civil servants, and led to the change in military policy. But by the time that judgment was handed down, the law in question had been replaced by another which also recognized only marital partners. So openly lesbian High Court Judge Kathy Satchwell went back to court seeking benefits for her partner, and this week the Constitutional Court again declared that permanent life partners must have equal treatment. Satchwell's attorney, Raymond Tucker, interprets the ruling as referring to relationships of some length or some kind of mutual support agreement, noting that, with a marriage, there is an automatic mutual support assumption that does not occur in gay relationships because they might have chosen to exclude that obligation. Despite a number of court rulings and urgings from judges, South Africa's legislature has yet to act on formalizing legal recognition of same-gender couples.
But a number of U.S. state legislatures continue to take up bills affecting gays and lesbians. New Mexico's legislature took final action this week on two bills, sending them on to Governor Bill Richardson, who's promised to sign them into law. One will prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity in employment, housing, public accommodations, and credit. This week, the state Senate, which had previously passed its own version of the measure by a narrow margin, passed the House version by a vote of 22-20. The other bill would increase sentences for bias-motivated crimes, including those against lesbian, gays, and transgenders. This week, the Senate version won approval from 60% of the state House, which had previously passed its own version. Also late last week, the Democrat-controlled New Mexico House revived a bill to require insurers to make coverage available for domestic partners in group health insurance plans to those employers who want to provide it. The bill, which the governor supports but previously failed in a tie vote on a day of poor attendance, now passed the House 33-30.
The Washington State House, also controlled by Democrats, this week gave almost 60% approval to a bill to prohibit sexual orientation discrimination in employment, housing, and financial transactions. Although the Washington House has passed similar bills twice before, it will once again face an uphill battle in the Republican-controlled state Senate.
In Minnesota, which was among the first of the 13 U.S. states to enact a law protecting gay and lesbian civil rights, a controversial move to repeal those protections may be dead for the session, as its Senate sponsor withdrew it this week. Republican leaders in the state House have already said they won't give a hearing to its companion bill there.
Maryland's state House this week passed by a landslide 2-1 margin a bill to add homophobic attacks to the state's hate crimes law. Its sponsor, openly gay delegate Richard Medaleno, is confident that the Maryland Senate will follow suit.
A member of the Finnish parliament issued an open letter of apology this week after lesbian baiting his nation's president. Former professional boxer Tony Holm won the second largest number of votes of any candidate in this week's elections, even though his right-wing populist party, the True Finns, lost 15 of its 18 seats. When an interviewer on public radio asked him if he might form his own parliamentary group, Holm said, "We have a lesbian as president and me as parliamentarian. Everything seems possible." While it's true that President Tarja Halonen once chaired Finland's national gay and lesbian rights group, SETA, it's not true that she's a lesbian, and she's now married to her former domestic partner, a male. In addition to Holm's published apology, the radio broadcaster is investigating its airing of his remarks and has attributed it to a failure in internal routines.
And finally, the annual protest of the exclusion of gay and lesbian groups from New York City's massive St. Patrick's Day parade has become almost as much of a tradition as a venerable parade itself. Parade organizers, the Ancient Order of Hibernians, have the law on their side, thanks to a past unanimous U.S. Supreme Court ruling regarding the exclusion of gays and lesbians from Boston's St. Patrick's Day parade. In its heyday, the New York protest resulted in more than 200 arrests, but this year's demonstration by the group Irish Queers involved only a dozen participants. Despite an unusual prop and four arrests, it went all but unreported by media. At a time of widespread U.S. police crackdowns on traffic blocking actions towards security from terrorism. At a major intersection on the parade route, the Irish queers erected a 16-foot-tall tripod and slung one of their members from its peak. Police knocked over the tripod, dumping its occupant, and arrested him and three other demonstrators. They were released from custody more than 30 hours later, with a group charging violence and other misconduct by police.
Back on the Old Sod in Belfast, the 10th annual protest of the New York City exclusion by the Northern Ireland Gay Rights Association may have actually had more journalistic attention, despite being utterly peaceful and prop-free. That group picketed outside an office of New York Parade sponsor Aer Lingus, where NIGRA President P.A. McLaughlin told reporters gay men and women can take part in St. Patrick's Day parades in Dublin, Cork, and Belfast, but they cannot in New York. The parade in New York has been multi-ethnic for years, but the Ancient Order of Hibernians in America bans gay people from the parade. This bigoted ban is long since out of date.
That's News Wrap for the week ending March 22, 2003. Written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Ralph Radabaugh.
Stay tuned for the comeback of one of the most popular, prolific, and politically committed performers of the last half century, later in the program. Opera lovers are so familiar with the story of La Traviata that it's hard to imagine the shock that the show originally carried. A new translation is changing that by bringing in contemporary issues of sexual orientation, gender identity, and AIDS. This Way Out correspondent Christine Taylor reports from Taos, New Mexico.
In a little one, though a night will end, it is time I must be going. Many thanks to you, dear lady, for a most delightful.
People would ask me, what does La Traviata mean? What does it mean? You know, and it's literally translated as the misguided one. But I think that, you know, literal translations aren't always it, because people use language idiomatically. And I think more accurately, it is the tainted one. The tainted one. Someone who has slipped outside the acceptable bounds of their society.
When La Traviata was written in 1853, the subject matter certainly was outside the acceptable bounds of society. The story was so shocking to audiences, a courtesan living with her lover and dying of tuberculosis, that the theater where the opera debuted insisted the opera's time period be moved back 200 years. But as times have changed, audiences are less and less able to relate to the situations in La Traviata, let alone be shocked by them.
A man and a woman living together out of wedlock, whether you approve of it or disapprove of it, no longer surprises anyone at all. And we don't really relate to the fact that tuberculosis was the kind of killer that it was. So it's changed a great deal and become just a costume drama to us.
Specifically written to address today's audience, a new translation of La Traviata by Taos resident Kristen Wolfe looks to restore some of the relevance and punch that the opera originally carried.
I wanted to get back the original bite of the libretto and put in my changes as well.
Some of those changes include translating the libretto to English, making the opera more conducive to production by small companies by staging it in a concert setting, adding one actress who moves the story along, and most importantly, making the heroine Violetta a transsexual who is living with AIDS.
That is the world that still experiences such incredible prejudice in the modern day. And, of course, the disease that we associate the modern plague is AIDS. You know, the story isn't really about her dying. The story is really about her incredible nobility, which is obscured by the fact that she lives a very on-the-edge life.
Noble, that's what he called me. But it was really clear. My kind, transsexual. You didn't know, did you? My kind could never have a place in his world.
The source of the opera's conflict comes from Violetta's transsexual lifestyle and her disease, but does Wolfe feel that if Violetta had been part of any other targeted group, the translation would have carried the same weight?
Well, I've not thought it through, but I think so. I think, for example, if there was a racial conflict. However, prejudice and the cruelty and the bigotry and the violence against gay people has been certainly more evident in my life than other kinds of social discrimination. And that's a large part of what I wanted to highlight and to bring out.
What will you do when you are ugly and ravaged, and his attention wanders, and you are an outcast? Do I know what that means? Oh, yes, I know. I know. God may forgive, but people never will.
I had a number of young friends who were coming out to their families. This was years ago. And they just struck me as such heroes. They were taking their most essential nature and presenting it in a way that they had every reason to expect might be met with a great deal of anger and resistance. And their desire for freedom and to live the life that they chose and to be who they were was very strong. And I think that's a powerful human theme.
So what would it take for this version of La Traviata to become so mainstream that it would be, in effect, just another costume drama?
We would have to reach the point where people's sexual preferences and lifestyles were simply not anybody else's concern and no one would care. And then my translation would be no more punchy or relevant than this woman who was sexually active outside of marriage and had tuberculosis.
How far are we from that?
Oh, I don't know. I hope not too far. That would be lovely. I like to think that.
How shall I find the courage?
I've been talking with Kristen Wolf in Taos, New Mexico. I'm Christine Taylor.
This is Terry Sweeney as Nancy Reagan. You know, whenever I'm home alone at the ranch and Ronnie's asleep, I listen to This Way Out. I mean, they get down and dirty, and that's the way I like it. Oh, so wonderful.
Singer, songwriter, actor, and poet Rod McEwen was a voice for peace and social justice throughout the 1950s, 60s, and 70s. Perhaps best known for his songs Seasons in the Sun and Jean, in his work and in his activism, McEwen has always championed gay rights. His books have sold 75 million copies worldwide, and he's recorded over 200 albums, 67 of which went platinum. But in 1982, he suffered from a bout of depression and withdrew himself from the public scene. McEwen returned on March 19, 2003 to announce a new concert tour. It was an extraordinary Hollywood party to celebrate a man of peace on a night of war. This Way Out's Steve Pride was there.
In 1950, Rod McEwen coined the phrase, "Make love, not war," and it became a rallying cry for both the Korean and Vietnam conflicts. So it is oddly serendipitous that on the night another war is launched, I find myself attending a party for McEwen. Just as our interview was to begin, McEwen has been whisked back outside to face the paparazzi. But the night is young, and there's a handsome man at the bar.
Harry Hamlin. Well, I tell you, you know, when I was in college and before, Rod McEwen was my hero, and still is. But he set the tone for much of my formative years. Yeah, absolutely.
My name is Dom DeLuise, and I'm here with my son, Michael. Obviously, a lot of people have a giant amount of respect for Rod McEwen. He is the best. And we need more people like him now that the world is in such turmoil. The fact that we have a man who believes that tenderness is the way to live instead of what's going on today. I mean, it really is so scary. As we drove down here, we were very aware that the war was imminent.
I'm with Buddy Hackett. With everything that's going on right now, is this the perfect time for the return of Rod McEwen to the concert stage?
This I can't tell you. I know what we think is going on in the world goes on all the time. It's just closer to home this time. But if we take the time to think of the people starving and the fact that China now has more than 1 million cases of AIDS when last year they only had 100,000. It's just, if you don't write a little poetry and if you don't tell a few jokes, the thought of it's going to kill you.
Phyllis Diller is not just a fan of Rod McEwen, she's a good friend.
We've known each other for 50 years. When he was 18 years old, he was working at a radio station in the Bay Area where he had this very successful show. He was writing poetry, and he wrote every week, he wrote a whole new show. And I fell in love with him then, and I've been in love with him ever since.
This is This Way Out, which is a gay and lesbian show. Do you have a shout-out to any of your gay and lesbian fans out there?
Well, yes. Live the great life and have a lot of fun.
Hi, this is Red Buttons. What did you want to know?
Rod McEwen. Why are you a fan of Rod McEwen?
I never heard of Rod McEwen. I just saw people coming to a party, and I just jumped in.
And you are?
Sally Kirkland.
I've heard of you.
Oh, I hope so. 91 movies. Okay.
We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun.
We had, go on. Da 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 da. Tom, what are the rest of the words?
We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun.
Okay, in French.
Je m'appelle ton.
I am finally back with Rod McEwen. Rod, where have you been? And I don't mean tonight. I mean, you've been out of the public eye for a long time.
I have. I went through a clinical depression, and they don't know how to diagnose that. And so it was, in a way, it was kind of up to me. One morning I woke up and said to myself, what the hell do you have to be depressed about? And the answer was nothing. And so I got over it. That's about it. Well, it took me 10 years.
I grew up in Florida in the 1970s, and as I recall, you were one of the loudest voices raised against Anita Bryant and her Save the Children campaign.
Don't drink the orange juice. I beg you, please, don't drink the orange juice. Yeah, it was a long time ago. I don't like anyone who's against human rights, and I just felt what she was saying, the fact that nobody was replying to it and nobody was challenging her, was wrong. And so... I'm a friend to anyone who's struggling for human rights.
That reminds me, you are also famous for a somewhat melancholy, but a really poignant song about being gay in the 1960s called The Ballad of the Sad Young Men.
I wish I'd written that. I didn't. I was the first person to record it, but that was written by Fran Lansman and Tommy Wolfe. They wrote it years before, but it wound up in a Broadway show that was called The Nervous Set, and they sent it to me, and I recorded it. I recorded it a couple times now. I love that song.
What do you think of the strides we've made in terms of gay rights?
Well, I think gay rights have made some progress, not enough. But I think it's like anything else. It's slow. I don't think blacks have made the kind of progress they should. I don't think women have made the kind of progress. I led the first Women's Liberation Day parade in Sydney, Australia. And those are... Civil rights are really important to me. I'm going to be 70 next month, and I've been blessed with a wonderful life, and I've come up at a time when all kinds of changes were going on. I know that the kids of today are impatient. They have a right to be, but it'll all work out in the end. I think it will, because we're all human beings. Nothing more, nothing less. We're not angels. We're not desperados. We're human beings. We're not straight. We're not gay. We're not women. We're not men. We're people. We're human beings who need to be accorded the same rights and privileges as every other human being on the face of the earth. I'm surprised that so many of my old friends have come out on a night like this when I guess war has started. And I worry about us, you know, the old men of this country, sending our children off to fight in battles. I don't want anyone to die on my behalf. I'm capable of doing that myself when the time comes.
Mr. McEwen, could I talk you into doing a reading of my favorite poem, Creed?
I can almost read it from memory, but not quite. I'm putting on my glasses. It doesn't matter who you love, or how you love, but that you love. For in the end, the act of loving any man is the act of loving God. The good in men is all the God there is, and loving is a contribution to that good and to that only God. And I believe that with my heart.
There were a few questions I had that remain unanswered. I'm not sure if Rod McEwen is gay, straight, or bisexual. I'm also not sure that it matters. I am sure he is a good friend to our community, and his emergence from retirement returns a much-needed voice to the world stage. For his is a special gift that puts into words and music what we all are thinking and hoping and dreaming. Rod McEwen's Prime of Your Life concert tour begins April 30th at Carnegie Hall and will be followed by free events throughout the United States aimed at senior citizens. For more information, visit Rod's website at www.mcewen.com. This is Steve Pride in Hollywood. Thanks for listening.
I go to Florida a lot because the weather's always hot. There's pretty girls and pretty boys, as many Jews as there are goys, as many blacks as there are whites, as many days as there are nights, as many straights as there are gay. Yes, they have fun in lots of ways. Ah, but don't drink the orange juice,
I beg you please.
Don't drink the orange juice,
I beg you please.
Don't drink the orange juice,
I beg you please.
It might lead to all kinds of bigotry. Miami Beach is pretty sand, as nice as lovely Samarkand. The Cuban music is the top at all the discotheques and hops. There's Hetty sailing in the Keys, and all the sharks are out to sea. Yes, Florida's the place to be, but won't you take a tip from me? Oh,
don't drink the orange juice,
don't drink the orange juice,
I beg you.
Don't drink the orange juice,
I beg you.
Might lead to lots of kinds of bigotry.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Ralph Radabaugh, Graham Underhill, Fensberry, Rex Wachner, Christine Taylor, and Steve Pride contributed program material. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by a grant from the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation and through direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. To find out how you can help keep This Way Out on the air and get some queer audio history and timeless music in the bargain, please visit our website at thiswayout.org, email us at tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on 2ECR Eden, New South Wales, KOOP Austin, Texas, WTIP Grand Marais, Minnesota, and more than 135 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Everybody's going to stay tuned.